Pleased to have on the Valley Christian Counseling and Wellness phone line right now, Ron Ness. And Ron is the CEO of the North Dakota Petroleum Foundation and a great industry voice on what happens in North Dakota oil and natural gas. We appreciate his time. Ron, happy new year to you. Thank you for being on the show today. Hope the holidays were good for you and the family.
Well, Steve, thanks for having me, and welcome to Morning Talk Radio. Is this completely new for you? I can't remember. You and I have done a lot of radio time, and it's always been a PM thing.
Yeah, they move me around every few years, it seems like. I did the morning show with Kevin and Alex, the morning drive show, for a long time. And then I got off the air and was just kind of busy running the business office here. And then I got nominated to get back on the air, do an afternoon show. And here we are back in the mornings as we've kind of reshaped things after the Charlie Kirk show going away, the Turning Point USA kind of taking that show off. So we just mix things around, and yes, here we are in the morning. But always great to talk to you no matter the day. So, Ron, we woke up to the news here, when was it, Saturday morning? So one of the days over the weekend, and found out that basically the regime had been toppled in Venezuela. And the first thing I thought of, I said this yesterday on the show, like, is that legal? Can we do this? And then the second thing I thought of is, what does this mean for the Bakken? So huge reserves in Venezuela. What happened over there over the weekend? Is this a good thing or a bad thing for North Dakota oil?
Well, I don't know that it has a significant impact on North Dakota oil, frankly. There are some fascinating statistics about Venezuela, and here's the two or three things for your listeners to walk away from today. Is number one, North Dakota currently produces more oil than Venezuela. We produce about 1.2 million barrels a day, North Dakota only, and Venezuela produces about 1 million barrels of oil a day. Their oil reserves are substantial. They were pegged at about 300 billion barrels of recoverable oil. But, you know, as it's kind of shaking out this week, that's a Hugo Chavez number. So trust me, Doug Burgum, the Secretary of the Interior, is in charge of the U.S. Geological Survey, which really assesses all of the resources in America. One of those is how much oil is there in place. I am certain that his team is reaching out to oil operators and others with history in Venezuela to figure out, is that number really correct? But the reality is, out of that million barrels a day that they produce every day, China exports 80% of that. So to me, this is totally just a play to make sure that China does not have a foothold in the Western Hemisphere in a large oil-producing potential area like Venezuela. Venezuela crude oil is a heavy sour crude oil. It's used primarily for refining. A lot of American refineries have converted to this type of oil, which is one of the great benefits that the Keystone XL would have brought. It would have brought that heavy Canadian crude oil into the U.S. refineries, primarily across the Midwest and the Gulf Coast. But that oil is also used for ship fuel. It's used for asphalt, cement, and it's obviously sold at a discount because of its lower quality than Bakken-type oil. So I think this is a political long-term strategy move for the U.S. and also the opportunity for critical mineral development in Venezuela. Does the United States want China basically to secure a foothold in an energy-rich potential area? Estimates are that the infrastructure is so dilapidated in Venezuela, it could take $100 billion. President Trump is, you know, talking to the large international American oil companies that, you know, what will it take for you to go back in there? I believe Chevron, who produces oil in North Dakota now, has activity in Venezuela.
Yes, they're there now.
Those companies do,
yep.
Right? They
yep.
They play everywhere. And but you know, what's the political stability, the regulatory stability that you can provide some type of assurances that, you know, they're not going to just seize all your assets like they did in the past and nationalize what you've built. So from a North Dakota standpoint, certainly we want to see more investment in North Dakota. From a consumer standpoint, I think having Western Hemisphere reserves in the hands of allies and or a friendly Venezuela is much, much better than in allowing China and OPEC nations to have that oil. And I think that that stands for us. You know, gasoline's on sale, Steve. I don't know what the gallon of gas is in Fargo, but it's like it's tough sled in the oil industry right now. But it's good times for consumers. And we've had this discussion over the last 25 years, I guess. And, you know, that's commodity business. Oil goes up and down. We don't control the world price of oil. But it shows you how much supply there is in the world when something like this happens in Venezuela.
Yes.
And oil was up 90 cents yesterday, you know, which is
right.
You know, we would like it to be up about $16 in order to, you know, put a little spice back in the opportunity. But, you know, we're going to be fine. We got to play for the long term. The Bakken is it's an incredible reservoir. It tells you how significant the Bakken is. When you see something like this make all the world news yesterday, and yet little North Dakota produces more oil every day than that.
Yeah, isn't that something? So that's the tension, right? Because what's good for the industry and what's good for the consumer, the gas pump, are often different things. It's kind of tough because you sort of got to dance the dance when you're talking about this in your position, right?
Well, you do. And from a North Dakotan standpoint, of course, there's a happy medium because you know, low oil prices in North Dakota means that, you know, our tax revenues are down, our job opportunities are going to decline, our economic drivers across the entire state are going to go down, the potential to add additional tax relief, all of those things for investment are probably going to be, you know, in a tougher decision point a year from now when the legislature comes back in. But if you find that happy medium in what I like to say in that $70 to $85 basket, you know, gasoline prices are in today's dollar. I mean, it's crazy when you think of, you know, you can get gasoline for, you know, $2 or sub $2 now in some areas when the tax, of course, of that is, you know, 47 cents or something like that. So, got to find a commodity price that works, but, that's not how the world works. The market drives the price. We are price takers, not price makers. And, we got to plan for some of these downtimes like this. And the reality is we got big operators in North Dakota right now. A lot of them have the budget set. They can power through this to some extent, but certainly always really hurts the little guys. It hurts the service companies. And, you know, those are the guys that make the engine run. So it'll be a little different in 2026, I suspect.